Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It has been my good fortune through my life to have been able to worship in lots of wonderful churches. All right, don't even get me started about the chapel at Valparaiso University. We're just, wow. If you haven't ever been, it's worth the drive. All right? But from my home congregation in Minnesota to being right here with all of you here in St. John's, it is truly a blessing to be in a space that inspire our worship. At my home congregation, we built the school first before we actually ever built a church building. And so for years, we worshiped either in the cafeteria or the gymnasium, both of which had altars built into one of the walls so they could be used for worship experiences. Now, when we built the church building, it was beautiful. It was spacious. It was inspiring. We could seat 1,000 people in that church before we even had to bring out the folding chairs. At my first call in Towanda, Pennsylvania, that was an interesting building. Outside looked peculiar, but the inside was intimate. Outside looked like someone had taken an angel food cake pan and turned it upside down on top of a concrete block. It was compared sometimes to a fort, the tower on a fort, or to cooling towers from a nuclear power plant. All right. But inside, it was in the round, so all of the people could see all of the people, you would have been maybe in the back pew, surely. That's how tight and close and intimate everything was in this congregation, and the altar and was in the center of everything. And right above the altar was a cross that had been made by one of the members of the congregation. It was wonderful. Now, the church I served, Gethsemane in Racine, was every bride's dream, right? Dark oak pews. We had stained glass windows made by Tiffany and Company. There was a 65-foot center aisle. We had a French Romantic pipe organ playing. The pulpit was raised. It was amazing. In Strom, where I served in western Wisconsin, the worship space had been added onto, and so it was difficult to see the altar from stage left. But that didn't stop people from showing up early to church to get the back pews in that new section of the building. In Massachusetts, we had no space of our own. We were still officially a mission congregation. But we began to understand that worship happens, that prayer, praise, and thanksgiving happens when people gather wherever. We had shared space with a couple of other congregations, and we wound up finally at the senior center. But worship was happening. In Genera, we moved from one space to a new space, and both of them were beautiful and inspiring, just like we have here at St. John's. There's space for the music. There's space for word and sacrament. It's all here, and I am so glad that you're here with me. Now, the temple in Jerusalem was meant to be awe-inspiring and intimidating because the temple was meant to be the place where God dwells. Now, I know that we call our churches the houses of God. But the temple in Jerusalem was meant to be the place where God physically dwells in the Holy of Holies. Because that main temple was separated into two places. The holy place, where men could be. Sorry, ladies, it was 900 BC. So the men could be in the holy place. But the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt, was only approached by the high priest on one day of every year. Whether it was the temple that Solomon built, or the one that Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt, or the one that Herod built, that Jesus was in. The temple building, all of its accompanying spaces, the high altar, all of those things were lavish, richly appointed, because this was the place where God dwells. But you see, the temple was also meant to be a place where worship happened. where God was praised and where sacrifices may occur. But when Jesus approaches the temple in today's gospel story, it is more about sacrifices and it's about individuals trying to pay their way back into God's good grace than it was ever about the coming together of God's people in prayer or praise or thanksgiving. Sacrifice was the major industry of the temple, not prayer, not study, not singing. As Jerusalem was the only place where these sacrifices were intended to be done, well, then animals were needed and then brought and sold at the temple. Then we just heard today again, the first commandment speaks against other gods and against images. And so foreign coins, usually with someone's image on them, were not allowed in the temple. And so the changing of money became important. The regular, everyday business of the temple required animals and money and all of those things so that individuals could come, make their sacrifices, and thereby repair their broken relationship with God. This is what Jesus wanted to stop. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus is attempting to substitute himself and his ministry for the temple. If you want to see God, Jesus is saying, look to me and to the things that he's doing. We hear throughout the New Testament that Jesus is the image of the one true God. And so in today's gospel story, Jesus stops the temple in its tracks. He drives out the animals. He overturns the money exchange, thereby stopping the sacrifices cold. Jesus is encouraging anyone there to return to prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Jesus is showing everyone that sacrifice, which had become so important, was actually inconsequential. God wants our hearts and our mind and our lives, not a lamb or an ox or a turtle dove. When confronted and asked for a sign to justify his actions, Jesus talks about destroying this temple and raising it again. Jesus isn't talking about destroying Herod's temple, but rather about himself. This isn't Jesus bragging, but Jesus is rather saying that God is saving the world through love and not through the blood of sacrifices. God is saving the world in grace. God in Jesus is showing us how we can share the love, how we can bring the care, live the hope that comes to us from God himself. Today, Jesus wants us to contemplate the question, where do we look to find God? Do we look to the temple and to the Holy of Holies? If so, we can't see them anymore. Do we look to the person of Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord? Yes. And that way, Jesus still reaches into our hearts and into our lives with love as he points us out to the world. But can we look to our sisters and brothers? To our neighbors and friends, our family, and even our enemies? And the answer is also yes, we can. Because Jesus refers to all of those people, even the least of them, as members of his family. And the risen Lord tells us that he goes out before us, pointing us to the ones who need God's love. There is an amazing quote in one of my favorite musicals that says, to love another person is to see the face of God. Jesus is directing us to that love today. He is directing us to that face of God today. And so, as we sit in our pews, looking around at this marvelous space that we have to worship in, may we remember that this space is important because even though it can happen in other places, it is here we pray. It is here we praise. It is here we give thanks. It is here we encounter the God of love who feeds us and names us, claims us, calls us and sends us into the world to share it all. It is here that we find strength from our sisters and brothers and share strength with those same sisters and brothers right back. It is here we see Jesus. So may the love of God, may the presence of God, may the face of God be with you as we walk our Lenten road and as we go into the world to share the love of God. Amen.